133, verse number 1. David said, "Behold, how good and how pleasant for it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went into the skirts of his garments, and he drew at Hermon, and as the dew descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded blessing, even life forevermore." Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, you've been so good to us. Lord, help us tonight as individuals and moreover, God, as a church, that we could be used of you in a greater way tomorrow than we were today. God, that we could be more surrendered to you tomorrow than we were today. God, that we could be more unified as a church and as a body than tomorrow than we were today. And God, help us so we could live for you each and every day. Above all, Lord, that we could be about your work, and that is reaching lost souls. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace. God, we thank you for your forgiveness toward us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. In my Bible, it's on the same page, but you may have to turn back a page in your Bible to Psalm 127. We're going to catch the first verse of that as well. So as David said in Psalm 133, he said, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And as far as we know, David never really experienced that as a kid in an extreme measure in one direction or another. We only have a couple of instances where David was recorded as being in the same place as his brethren. And we didn't see a place where they really liked him. And we didn't see a place where they really hated him either. So we find David is writing here, and it has to be inspired by God. It really does. But it has to be something that is coming from wisdom of age. It can't be something that he grew up with. It's just not in the Bible. But in Psalm 127, this is a song of degrees for Solomon. And it says, "Except the Lord build a house, they that labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain." Now, y'all listened to Miss Marietta play the piano over there a minute ago. And whenever she played with her right hand, what do you call it when you play just with your right hand? Is that
melody
or something? And you could tell that's what the song was. But it wasn't quite complete. You can still tell that there was a song there. You can still tell that it was Mansion Over the Hilltop. But it wasn't quite finished, as long as she was sitting there playing with only one hand. And then whenever she flipped over to her left hand, and that is tempo?
No.
What is it?
That's the bass.
The bass side. So whenever she flipped over to her left hand.
That's the beat of the song.
Oh, that's what I was looking for. Whenever she flipped over to her left hand, it got to the point that you couldn't even tell what the song was, or I couldn't tell what the song was. All you heard was a deep, I guess, a supporting cast is what I always called it. But whenever she played with both hands, didn't it sound beautiful? And that paints a picture of a Christian's life, and it paints a bigger picture of a church. And not just our church, the church body as a whole. And it's always worried me that there's so many churches that or originate from other churches. That's always worried me. And I'm not talking about a church doing a church plant up in Wyoming and their origin is Harmony Baptist Church. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a church that forms or decides they want to be a church right up the road, and they all the members come from another church that they were unhappy in. I believe that anybody who's ever had any sort of relationship in any fashion can find yourself a way to disagree with your significant other, whether it be a man or a woman or whatever they prefer to call themselves. You can find a way to disagree with them. If you hadn't yet, bless your heart, it's coming. Get ready. My wife and I have been married a few years, and we don't agree on everything. About the only thing that we can ever agree on is that I'm always right. Other than that, there ain't much of a hope. We disagree on colors. We disagree on shapes. We disagree. Bailey came out running out of her room today. I told her to go get shoes on. She came out with dark pink socks and bright silver glitter Crocs. She said, "Don't they look pretty?" I said, "Yes, darling, they do. Oh, they're beautiful. That looks like church shoes. Go ask your mama." You know what her mama said? Her mama said, "No, she had to go change." Adults are never going to agree on everything with each other, and that's the case with everything. But at the end of the day, we can disagree on what kind of shoes that Bailey wants to wear. And whenever we get done at the end of the day and we have that moment when all the kids are asleep and the dishes are washed and the clothes are folded and the floors are mopped and the sink is clean and the house is clean and the walls have been wiped down and the toilets have been scrubbed and the baseboards have been trimmed up. And when everything is done and we sit down, we can still hold each other and say that we love each other and that be absolutely true. And if you can't do that, then your marriage is in trouble. And as a church body, if we can't do that, our church is in trouble. And there was a man came and preached almost the same message, and it was years and years and years ago. But I remember him reading out of this particular verse in Psalms, and as he preached it, you know what was on my mind, Brother Randy? All these people that disagreed with me. That's what was on my mind. Well, this person said this, and this person did that, and this person did that, and this person said this, this person don't want to do this, and this person don't want to do that, and most of my life, my mama wanted to have a Bible school, and it never did come. It never did happen. Still hadn't happened. And while the man was preaching, and mama told us all this later, she said, all I could think about was how displeased that she was. I don't remember the word that she used. How displeased or how upset she was with that particular person. And the whole time the man was preaching, that's all that she could think about. And I did the same thing. That's all I could think about was, well, maybe this person is getting in the way of the unity of the church. And this person is doing this, and that is hindering the unity of the church. And I don't have to say it. I'm going to say it anyway. Whenever we read the Bible, we're not doing it to judge other people. We're doing it to judge ourselves. We're doing it to correct ourselves. We're doing it to line ourselves up. Because we're not always going the right way. And as bad as we may think it, and Brother Dean, I know you do it too. We may think we're always right. We ain't. We're not always right. As a matter of fact, we're seldom right if we get right down to it. We are seldom right. And whenever we come to the realization of just how wrong we are, and I spoke with Brother Robbie this week, and he said sometimes we forget how big of dummies we are, and I love that he said that, and that is the absolute truth. Sometimes we forget how big of dummies we are, because we'll sit in church and we'll say, amen, preacher, that's right, I hope so and so's hearing this. Hey, yeah, we're guilty of that. We are guilty. I've done it. I didn't say that out loud, but that's what's going through my head. That's not unity. That's not being, that's not good and pleasant. Good and pleasant is me not liking the color of the shakes on the front of the building and showing up walking underneath them every day anyway. That's unity. Unity is you not liking the color of the pews, sitting in them anyway. And Brother Terry said something 3 years ago. Right after I came and we were having a conversation. I don't think he would mind me sharing this. He said, I want to abide by the mind of the church, by the will of the church. He said, if it's the will of the church to do this, then I'm in favor of doing this. If it's the will of the church to do that, then I'm in favor of doing that. And as long as it is doctrinally, biblically sound, even if I don't all completely 100% agree with it, if it's the mind of the church, if it's the will of the church, this is the way we are going. Because at no point in time, and if you don't believe it, go read Paul's letters to the churches. Because every single one of them churches, we think that we're the only church that's ever had trouble. Right? That's what we think. That's what rolls through our heads. We're the only ones, we're the only place that have ever had squabbles in amongst everybody. But we're not. Go read Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Both of them. He talks about there being divisions in the church. He talks about being problems in the church. He talks about being dissension in the church. The letter to Galatians. Well, let's go ahead and turn there. Ephesians chapter number. Chapter number 4. I'm sorry. I licked my finger to try to turn the page in my Bible. I must not have got all the rebar dust off. Tasty kind of funny. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 1. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord. A lot of times we read over these salutations, and I encourage you when you read and study your Bible, do not read over these salutations. There's a lot in this. As a prisoner of the Lord, Paul is captive by the Lord. He's captive by his duty to the Lord. And that is where we should all find ourselves. Prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, and endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Read that again. In order to walk worthy of the vocation we are called, then we have to, Solomon said, it's the whole duty of man to love God and keep His commandments. In order to walk worthy of the vocation that we were called, we have to love God and keep His commandments. What did Jesus say was the two most important commandments ever? Love God, love people. It needs to be on a t-shirt. Love God, love people. If we can do that, we're good, right? Can we do that? Whoo, it's hard, ain't it? It's easy to say I love God. It's easy to say that I love people. It's harder to honestly do it. To honestly prove it. I can say I love God, but if my life shows something else, that is called self-righteousness. If we prop ourselves up in church and say, look, here I am, here's what I can do, here's what I'm worth, we are worthless. And anything short of that is a failure. Anything. A little while ago, Brother Tommy Hudnall was preaching on the radio, and I was listening to him on the way to work on 107.3. And he said, if we ever get to the point in our life where we think we can contribute to God's work based on the merit of our intelligence, he said, we got to hang it up. There's a lot in that. If we think that we can contribute to God's work based on the merit of our intelligence, then we hang it up, we're finished, we're done. Because the best that we can offer God and the best concoctions that we can come up with in our head and the best ideas and the best ways to present Scripture and the best ways to evangelize and the best things to write down, the absolute best, if not done in a spirit of humbleness and humility, it may help somebody somewhere, but it's going to harm us if we think we're worth it. If we think the work can't continue without us. If we think the church can't get along without us. If we think, well, I don't know what God's going to do without me. Look at how big of an impact I'm having. Paul said that we are to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. God did not need us. God wants us. There's a very big difference in that. God did not need us for His work. He desires that He may use us for His work. And then we are called into that vocation. Do we realize the caliber of people that we are standing with in the work of God? So we've been working on the categories for Jeopardy for Friday night, Saturday night. And one of them is people. Go study your heroes of the Bible. Do you realize that whenever you say that you're a Christian, that you're standing in the shadows, and a lot of people say that for government. They say, well, we're standing in the shadows of greatness. George Washington and Abraham Lincoln and Benjamin Franklin, well, they were great men. But God used some great men. God did some amazing things in the Bible, and He did this with people who walked worthy of the vocation that they were called. He did this with people who were lowly and meek in spirit, people who were long-suffering, people who were forbearing one another in love. Joseph had every single reason to kill all of his brothers for selling him into slavery, for trying to kill him. He didn't. David had every reason to kill all the family of Saul. He didn't. Daniel had every reason. He had every reason to beg for the freedom of his people. To stand up as an advocate for two kings. And say, let my people go. Moses stood up in front of Pharaoh and said, let my people go. Let God's people go. These men stood up in humbleness. Whenever God called Moses, Moses said, "Hey, God, here am I, but I can't do this, God. I am nothing." God told Moses, he said, "I will go with you." God solved all of his problems. God took care of all of his handicaps. God took care of it, but I want you to see something. I wish I could turn right to it. I can't. Y'all remember the battle that Israel was having? And God said, "Moses, as long as you hold that rod up, you're going to win." Y'all remember that battle? God told Moses, "As long as you hold that rod up, as long as you're holding it up, Israel's going to win." So Moses held that rod up, and Israel was winning the battle. And as his arms begin to get heavy, and y'all know it happens. Hold your arms up for a minute, they begin to get heavy. And as his hand began to sink, Israel began to lose the battle. And then he'd hold his hand back up, and they start winning again. And after a little while, Moses got to the point that he could not do it by himself. Folks, we can't do it by ourselves, any of it. It is extremely hard to do marriage by yourself. There has to be somebody else in it with you. It is extremely hard to do evangelism by yourself, to do church by yourself. And Psalm 127 said that any house cannot stand if the Lord is not in it. Any of them. The Bible says that a threefold cord is not easily broken. Except that God build a house. Except that God is in the building of the house. Except that God is in the sustaining of a house. Except that the Lord keep the city. There's nothing that a watchman can do. And y'all, that's our job. That's our job. To be vessels for God. Brother Doug said something just a minute on the way out. I don't know who he's listening to on the radio, but I got to go find out who the guy is. He said he was preaching this morning on Peter, and he's been preaching several weeks on Peter. And he said that whenever he got to Peter today, he said Peter had something that very few people around had that Jesus wanted. Peter had a boat. And whenever Jesus said, "Hey, can I come and preach on your boat?" Peter offered the only thing that he had to Jesus. He offered the boat. What do you have in your life that God can use? It's not your intelligence. God don't need that. You've got that. What do you have? You have connections with other people. You have a church family here at Harmony. You have contacts that you make at work, at school. Some people have gifts that you can use to be a tremendous blessing in every direction. The question is whether or not you're going to allow God to use them. Are you going to let God use your gifts? Are you going to let God step into your boat? Are you going to allow God to use your gift to teach, to reach others? Are you going to allow God to use your... We'll take a break for a minute if we need to. Poor thing. Are you going to allow God to use your ability to play music the way that you do to bless other people? Are you going to allow God to use your ability to sing to bless other people? Are you going to allow God to use your ability to connect with others? There was a man called me today. His name was Mr. Danton from Norwood Baptist Church way over in Feliciana something or other. And he called me today, and I had signed up for a men's Bible retreat. I don't know, it's 3 days sometime in March. But he called me today, and he said, "I'm your prayer partner." All right. So after a minute, he kind of explained what it was and explained the purpose behind it. And he said, "As we get ready for this conference, as we get ready for this retreat," he said, we pray that God can use anything and everything to open our eyes to His glory." And this retreat's not for another, at least a month. And he said, "Is it okay if I call you a couple of times a week and have prayer with you?" This man don't know me. Had no idea who I am. I filled out an application whenever I submitted my registration. He knew my name and he knew my wife's name because she was my emergency contact. And that's it. He called to have prayer with me. He said he would every couple of times every week between now and then.
He said, because as we prepare for this conference, we have to make ourselves ready for God to be able to show up and show out, for God to be able to work. And I thought that was great. Because how often do we prepare for church? And I'm not saying, Brother Dean, I believe that you studied the Sunday school lesson. I believe that you do, because you couldn't stand up here for 45 minutes and teach if you didn't. And I study my Bible before I come up here and preach. But as far as preparing our hearts for service, how often do we do that? Because if we stand up here and we have something against other people, if we stand up here and we have done things this week that we have not yet repented of, if we stand up here and try to sing in the choir and all we can think about is how pitchy the person next to us is being, up and down, and just can't get right, then our heart wasn't in the right place whenever we started. Coming prepared for service is all part of unity. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. Actually, 1 through, 23? Would be a great place for us to study for a little while. In lowliness and meekness and long-suffering. Verse 4, this is one body and one spirit, as we are called, and one Lord and one faith and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Through that grace. Verse 13, until we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Verse number 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. Everybody can't be a mouth. I know you all want to be the mouth. Everybody can't be the mouth. Somebody has to be the toe. Somebody's got to be the toe. Somebody's got to be the foot. Somebody's got to be the ear. Somebody's got to be the freckle. The body fitly joined together in love. Verse 22, that we have put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Verse 23, being renewed in the spirit of our mind. May we have unity as a body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. If you begin to study the problems that these churches had, and we're going to touch on them in just a minute. If you begin to study the problems that the churches that Paul preached to had, you'll understand that all of them came from people not getting along with one another. And the reason people can't get along with one another is the same reason that Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. It's this free will that God gave us. The ability to think on our own, the ability to act on our own. And the fact is that my mind and your mind ain't the same. It don't think the same. It don't work the same. We don't see the same. We don't act the same. And thank the Lord for that. But as Christians, we're called to love each other anyway. Anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same judgment. Perfectly joined together. Verse 12, he said, now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? No, Christ was not divided. Therefore, is his church supposed to be divided? No. They were saying, well, I was baptized by this person, and I was baptized by this person, and that makes us separate. It don't matter who baptized you. It don't. It just don't. What matters, go back up to verse number 9, is that we serve this same God by whom we were called unto the fellowship, underline that word fellowship, of his Son Jesus Christ our Lord. And the first epistle to the church of Corinthians, at Corinth, the first letter, the first chapter, immediately following the salutations, Paul said, do not be divided. Isn't that not important? Do not be divided. The book of Romans, chapter number 16. Just flip back one page. Romans chapter 16, verse number 17. I beseech you, brother. I beseech you means pay attention. Please listen. This is important. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. If you find things that are doctrinally wrong, if people come in and try to convince you of things that ain't quite right, and you have Bible for them, you need to remember that person. You need to remember that thing. And like Paul said to Timothy, you need to remember that which you have learned. Contrary to the doctrine, verse 17, which you have learned. And avoid these people, avoid these instances, avoid these circumstances, avoid these which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the word of God. Understand that that is where we judge all things from God's word and from his spirit. The book of Jude, chapter number 1, and we're going to work our way toward a close. Book of Jude, chapter number 1, verse number 16. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust. Their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage, because of their stature, because of the place that they hold, whether in the church, in the community, or in government, or wherever it may be. Verse 17, but beloved, remember the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the words. Remember the doctrine. It all goes back to the Bible. God said, do not let these things divide you. Do not let these things separate you. Do not let these things get in and cause all sorts of problems among you. Proverbs chapter number 6, and I'll just read this to you. Verse number 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, and feet swift to run into mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. These six things doth the Lord hate, and seven are an abomination. Number seven, the last one, is he that soweth discord among the brethren. There's no time for that. There's no place for that. We have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of things that we have to complete. We have a lot of folks we have to reach. Look at how many empty pews there are tonight. We've got a lot of work to do. There's a lot of people that go in and out of churches. There's a lot of people that go up and down Luke Pace Road, up and down Highway 62, that don't know God, don't know Jesus. We have work to do. And if we get hung up on little bitty things, if we get hung up on the details, if we get distracted. God sent me a video several weeks ago. He said, this is what it's like being a Christian. The man walked into the living room of his house, flipped the light switch on. The light didn't come on. He pulled the bulb out, looked at the bulb was blown. So he went to the closet to get a new light bulb. And whenever he walked into the closet, he reached for the shelf. And the back of the shelf was the dowel rod was broken. The shelf was falling. So he went to his garage to try to get a dowel rod. And whenever he walked into his garage to try to get a dowel rod, he flipped the switch in the garage and walked up there. And the whole thing was unorganized. Just workbench going every which direction. So he said, now I got to work on this workbench. As he began to work on this workbench, he spilled his can of WD-40 and apparently he needed it. So he said, well, I got to go to the hardware store now. So he went and got in his car, and whenever he got in his car, he crunk it up and he heard a tick. Y'all ever heard that? Rod knocking. So he backs his car up into the driveway. He goes and gets his engine hoist out of the shop. Picks it up, rolls up underneath his car, and just a minute his wife comes out there, starts hollering at him. Says, what in the world are you doing? Ain't you ever going to change this light bulb? He said, what do you think I'm doing? He went to change the light bulb, and he got so distracted that he was pulling the engine out of his Oldsmobile. And that is so like Christians.
We get so distracted by everything but God's Word. We get so distracted and pulled aside by everything else. We forget that everything that Paul said about churches with divisions, he said, go back to the Bible. About people with problems, divisions in their lives, divisions in marriages, divisions in relationships, divisions in what we understand as doctrine. If you have something you don't understand, it's always good to ask for help. But ask God first. Ask God first. Because if you ask me, I try not to be, but I have been wrong at least a couple of times. I have. Chances are the rest of you have too. Prove it with the Bible. Take God's word. Pray for guidance in the Spirit. God will answer. He promised us that. He said if we will seek wisdom, it will be granted. Find it in God's word. That's where it all goes back to. All roads lead back to the King James Bible. The Holy Word of God. Search it. Memorize it. Learn it. Study it. Pray over it. While we have a verse of a song, we're going to ask for a verse of invitation tonight. Someone would have something on their heart. We invite you to come at this time.